Okay, so this is crazy good morning because it is, oh my God, it's not even 5:30 and I'm basically doing laundry. And it's Saturday morning and yeah, it's like, I don't know, January the frickin' 16th. Holy crap. It's the 16th of January, it's 2016. Not quite a magical day, not like 11/11/11, but magical enough, right? Well, anywho, I've been reading some of the comments on YouTube on some of the videos I posted, and I thought it was worthy enough to have a conversation. I worry about these conversations because people misinterpret them and they don't really understand the purpose. They don't really understand the voice. So I'm going to be as clear as I can be, and hopefully, after listening to this, some of you will simply choose not to, follow me or subscribe. I don't need to attack you. You don't need to attack me. We can go our separate ways. The topic is anti-Semitism. And let's be specific about what that probably means. But before I go too deep, I don't claim to be an expert on the history of anti-Semitism. I am simply a human being in a world trying to make political and philosophical choices about my life and trying to express them in the best ways that I can. The topic often comes up, and so I too am going to address it. But there are people who specialize in the subject. I'm sure there are academics who all they do is research anti-Semitism or some subtopic of anti-Semitism. So please, if you want to learn more about this, go to the library, go online. This is not a remedial course on the history or the general anthropological features of anti-Semitism. But this is about anti-Semitism from the perspective of Daniel John Sullivan. So we can make it a clear enough statement there. When I was younger, I think I would have said, in a knee-jerk way, I am not anti-Semitic because I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school. And the topic of the Holocaust, I think, did come up as an issue periodically, and it was something people talked about. And, even though it was sort of a newish phenomena, even back in the 80s, the sort of the beginning form of what they called the God Squad philosophy, the whole, cross the religious boundaries between, Judaism and Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and try to bridge all the gaps between religions. And so, back in the day, people had conversations about things like that. And so I would have said knee-jerk as a kid, obviously, no, I don't just hate Jews. I mean, Jews are people. Jews are like anyone else. And really, Judaism is a religion. So why would I hate a person who believes some particular religion? That would have been the knee-jerk response. And in my 20s, I think it would have been pretty close to the same, although I would have had more education, a bachelor's and master's degree in history, whatever the fuck that means. But I would have had more education, and I probably would have given a slightly more erudite answer and said something like, I understand historical roots or roots of anti-Semitism and racism as a political philosophy in general. Much of this is bound up with the French Revolution, as so many modern philosophies and proto-philosophies are. And in some ways, the French Revolution gave birth to racism as a political philosophy. That would have been, generally speaking, part of the answer. And the rest of the answer would have been, as far as anti-Semitism goes, which is a kind of variant of xenophobic philosophies or racist philosophies, as far as anti-Semitism goes, I would be inclined to follow along the lines of Nietzsche. I am simply not an anti-Semitic because it is a weak philosophy. It is a rather ridiculous perspective. It is the philosophy of victims, and I don't want to be a victim. So I would say to anyone, racist, anti-Semitic, back in my 20s, that if you believe that nonsense, what you really desire is to be treated like a fucking victim. Like, basically, the world did something to you in some horrific way, and you hold a grudge, and you know specifically the people that did this to you. And in your case, you're blaming the Jews. And this is the thing. When I read these comments on YouTube, I don't think people get it. I don't really understand the victim philosophy. If what you say is true, then this relative minority of people must have superpowers. They must be like the reptilians that David Icke talks about, because otherwise I do not see how they could plausibly do the things that to you as a person, to the world, that you believe they do. This whole conspiracy bullshit makes no sense. It is a walking, talking contradiction. And it is the philosophy of a fucking victim. That's what I would have said in my 20s and frankly in my 30s. And for the most part, in my 40s, I give the same answer. You know, I think that racist philosophies are victim philosophies. They don't really get to the core issues and they tend to oversimplify. The truth is, skin color is kind of irrelevant to whether a person could be a genius or a moron. Skin color is more or less irrelevant to whether a person could be a great basketball player or a great golfer. You know, I believe that African Americans can be great basketball players and golfers and physicists, and I believe that there are Caucasian Americans who could do the same. And even if there are variations, these variations are not really that critical. That's kind of the reality. So when we look at people, folks, humans from different cultures, different backgrounds, it's easy enough to sort of see the superficial characteristics, but we often miss the point and we don't recognize that we're basically all humans. We're all human beings. We're living in this world as humans, and that's what I believe. But here's the deal. The reason why anti-Semitism holds such cachet amongst the victim classes in America and other places is, frankly speaking, because of the way that, in my opinion, a lot of the folks who are the decision makers today are treating people at that level. I'm not going to tell you that I think that there's some great worldwide conspiracy. I actually don't think humans are capable of actually accomplishing something that complex. I think it would be easy enough to believe that, but I don't believe it. I do believe, though, that there is a cadre of people that basically make most of the decisions. They may not all synchronize their decisions, but they do make most of the decisions. The decisions that the Federal Reserve makes, for example, are deeply impactful. People who question that are morons. They're deeply impactful. They're basically non-democratic, and the entire institution is questionable from a constitutional perspective. So, yes, there are these institutions. The Federal Reserve is an institution like this, but there are other institutions like this. And frankly, I would include our own political system, because I don't really think that it is functional currently. I don't really think that it expresses the democratic ambitions of most Americans. I think it does express the ambitions of a fairly small minority of people who are interested in the financialization of America. I think that's probably true, but I don't think it really is representative of America per se. And maybe that doesn't even matter at this point. I think the problem is that these institutions, for the most part, are very undemocratic, kind of dehumanizing, and they're doing things that are nefarious, and because of the secrecy, have the smell of being nefarious. And all these agreements that we're coming up with, the CISPAs and the new Trans-Pacific Partnerships and bullshit like this, they are also extensions of this undemocratic bullshit, this non-republican, and I mean lowercase r, I mean to have a republic, a res publica, a government that is run and by the sovereignty of individual human beings. These particular entities are basically against that. You know, we could wake up one day and find ourselves bureaucratically in a completely different country because of these agreements that we're making, and because of all these decisions our government is making. We're kind of allowing our own society to slip aside for some type of quasi-globalist fucking utopian dream, but it's really a nightmare if we're honest about it. So anti-Semitism is a real thing, okay? And let's also broach another subject. Technically, to be anti-Semitic would be to be against a particular ethnicity, a people that lived and continue to live within the regions around the Eastern Mediterranean. You know, so if the folks that basically Arabs, for example, Sunni Arabs are Semitic peoples. The Phoenicians, the ancient Phoenicians, were Semitic peoples. To be Semitic does not mean necessarily to be Jewish. This is also one of the weird historical anomalous things that this term has been used to basically apply to being anti-Jewish. But in truth, the term itself technically means you'd be against, you know, Arabs, Jews, Phoenicians, I suppose, a whole bunch of people from that part of the world. But I'm actually going to express and talk about this as I've talked about it in terms of the way it's currently used, which is really to be anti-Jewish and to believe that there are Jewish conspiracies. In my opinion, that's what anti-Semitism is at this point in human history. It is to believe that Jews are evil and they have nefarious conspiracies against us. That's total bullshit. But, and this is where I'm going to end things off, but, okay, it is total bullshit. But that does not imply Jewish people are incapable of being evil. I hope people understand what I just said. Just because I don't believe being Jewish means you're evil does not imply I believe that being Jewish means you're good. I think being Jewish just means you're fucking Jewish, just like being a fucking born-again Christian means you're born-again Christian. I don't think it necessarily guarantees you're not a serial killer. I am so sorry to all of those Jewish folks out there who believe that to be anti-Semitic is, in my opinion, not necessarily to believe that Jewish people are incapable of sin, okay? I do not believe that. Jewish people are just as capable of sin as anyone else. So to be anti-Semitic, yes, is ridiculous and crazy. But just because you're not anti-Semitic does not imply you're not skeptical. So what I'm going to leave you with are my thoughts around Israel. Growing up, back in the day, my knee-jerk reaction would have been, as a kid, you know, the Reagan 1980s, especially as a teenager, I would have said, oh yeah, I support Israel. Back in my 20s, it would have been knee-jerk. You know what? I get the Palestinian issues, but the Arabs could do more. I support Israel. In my 30s, I still kind of was in that world. I mean, 9/11 more or less fucked up the world for all of us in a lot of ways, but I was still kind of in that world, but I was beginning to feel a general dread about my own political perspectives. So I would have begrudgingly said, yeah, you know, Israel, they're the best option in a really crappy set of options. I don't support Israel any longer. I don't support the philosophy that says that it's okay to take a map that exists in the Bible that is in essence an ancient map, a map that is thousands of years old, and apply it to the world in the 20th century and to think it's okay because you believe it's in your religious texts. Well, here's the deal. If every group that had those sorts of religious texts were to look at the map of the world and say, you know, according to the ancient god Olab, the Sullivan clan owns most of San Juan Island. I mean, I guess I could make some crazy-ass fucked-up argument like that, and who knows, I could get really smart and maybe come up with some fake document. But there was no god Olab. But anyways, I could say shit like that, and then what? I somehow have a right, a moral right, to form some sort of thug army and take over San Juan Island in the name of my god Olab? That's essentially what happened. That was the argument. Everyone felt guilty about the Holocaust, and the Holocaust was a historical crime. But just because a historical crime has been committed against a people does not imply logically that that people has a right to commit similar crimes against other peoples. That is not the case. You do not get a blank check to do shit to other people that was done to you. And there's really a simple and pragmatic reason for this. That way of responding to the world guarantees that there is never-ending violence. Violence never ends. If it's always tit for tat, if it's always going off of the checkbook of history, we will all destroy ourselves. We will murder each other until there are no humans left. Humans make mistakes. Humans often violate trust. And the best humans amongst you will fuck you, will sometimes fuck you. And you know what? You need to learn to get over it. Not just as individuals, but frankly, as groups of people as fucking well. We need to learn to get over our shit. You know, 3,000 Americans plus died on 9/11. I guarantee you that in probably just children alone, we've killed more than that number since 9/11, just children. We've blown to pieces. Oh yeah, it's collateral damage. You know, we can't, it's unavoidable. Well, guess what? We probably killed more just children. We probably killed more children in Iraq and Afghanistan since 9/11 than we had murdered Americans on 9/11. And you think, well, damn, you know, American lives, they're worth 20 people. Okay, guys, that fucking logic guarantees World War III. That's why I take this issue. Yes, anti-Semitism is wrong, but just because I'm against anti-Semitism does not apply. I'm pro-Israel. Israel is not an expression of historical necessity. Israel is kind of bullshit. You know, it really is. The Theodore Herzl kind of, you know, return to Zion, the Zionism, the belief that there is this ancient Zion and that the Jews need to return. You know something? Theodore Herzl was proposing a racist philosophy, or at least a supremacy of a sort, maybe an ethnic supremacy, but he was proposing a supremacy philosophy, which technically speaking is a victim philosophy. Just like anti-Semitism is a victim philosophy. I hate to break it to you, but Zionism and the philosophy of Theodore Herzl is a freaking victim philosophy. So yes, I am against anti-Semitism, but I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to all you other people out there. I am not. Just because I don't believe there are nefarious Jewish conspiracies that run the world, just because I don't believe Jews have anything against me because they're Jews, does not imply that I think Jews can do no wrong. Actually, I think Jews are just as capable of being dicks as anyone else, as the Goyim or Gentiles, and ultimately, yeah, I don't support Israel. I don't think we should give financial aid to Israel. I don't know why they have fucking hydrogen bombs. What the fuck does a nation that is barely larger than my penis, and my penis is very small, what the fuck does a nation like that have business with fucking hydrogen bombs? Even if it's only a few of them, okay? These bombs are big enough to wipe out Israel if one of them goes off by fucking accident. You need to think about that for a fucking second. What kind of a fucking country has weapons that if there was a fucking human error would wipe them out? Even America's not that fucking, well, I think we're not that fucking stupid. Anyways, I'm doing my laundry and thinking about anti-Semitism, and I just wanted you to know that if you just hate Jews because they're Jews, because you think there's a conspiracy, because you think Jews are evil, just, you probably don't want to listen to me, and you probably don't want to read my words, and you probably don't want to interact with me, so please just don't. And if you think that Israel can do no wrong and that somehow we owe it to the Jews or because of the Holocaust and that it's okay to open up ancient religious texts and form countries in places that hadn't existed for fucking thousands of years, if that's your belief, yeah, you probably don't want to listen to me. You're probably a neocon or, you know, Zionist fuck, and you really just want to start World War III, so go fuck yourself. And good morning.